Today's daf in Masechet Benachot is daf Nun Hey, and we are one quarter, a little bit beyond of the way down, at the Tana Rabbanan. So you will recall that yesterday we got into this major question about whether we look, and if it comes to measuring things, do we look at the volume that something once was, or do we look at the current volume? This is very nogea. What to do in a case where we've got dried figs and fresh figs? Now, obviously, if we're going to count the figs, then we're not looking at what the volume is currently. If we're going to look at what the volume is currently, then we're not looking at the count. Yesterday, we ended up having what appeared to be a contradiction. In a braita, I mean, on the one hand, we were talking about taking grogrot for teinim. On the other hand, we were talking about taking teinim for grogrot. One of them indicated that we go what was called likamot shehen, or as the Bach keep changing, likamot shaya, the way that it was. The other one indicated that worked out better if it goes according to likamot, not likamot, rather, kimot shehen now, currently. And look, in the end, the Gemara said that, well, what we were talking about over there was actually not ma'aser. So there was no problem of marbe b'ma'aser. No problem. We were talking about truma, either couldn't be truma gadol, because they happened to mention 10 out of to 90, but could have been truma gadol in it, theoretically. Or trumat ma'aser, according to the Man Yomar, who says it's nitalat ba'omen, it doesn't really matter, let it be precise.
It goes by numbers, though, in this case, or five?
That's the problem. If you look at the in one case we found it going in by volume, in one case we found it going by numbers, what it appeared, anyway. So in the end, the Braita said that since we're talking about something that is lav dafka, so we could be ba'ayin yafa. Now, I mean, one way of understanding that is that we don't really care all that much, since the din of Ayin Yafa is only a Durabonin. So in one way of looking at it, if you're taking off the same number, so then in terms of the virtual volume, you're taking off correctly for Ayin Yafa. If you look at it the other way in terms of the volume, but you do have the virtual volume, so you're still going to be an Ayin Yafa. Which would mean that for all intents and purposes, when it comes to Truma, we can ignore the problem of whether we go the Kimot Shayu or we go Kimot Shein. But, and this is clearly the way that Rashi is learning it, it drives some of the Acharonim absolutely crazy. Rashi can't figure out what Rashi is talking about. Because, I mean, the Gemara on the side, you'll see why in a moment. But assuming that that's the Pshat, then the Gemara wants to clarify there is another issue. We can't look at it just in those simple sense of whether we go according to the volume currently, or we could take the number because it's equivalent to the original volume. There's another issue here. And that other issue is that we know that the Torah says, et chelbo mimeno. Chelbo mimeno by truma teaches us that you're supposed to take the finest part to do the truma. Now we have a machloket in a number of places as to what to do in a case where there's no kohen handy. There's no kohen handy. If you're going to take out the chelbo, then it's going to spoil faster. In other words, exactly the case that we're talking about. If you've got dried figs that can last for years, you're going to take off the fresh figs, and there's no kohen to give it to. By the time you find the kohen, you haven't given the truma to anybody. And that's also an issue. Now, that's a machloket as to, the technically speaking, if you're talking about the yofa versus the mitkayem, which one comes first? So according to one man, the Yomar, the mitkayem comes first if there's no kohen handy. The yofa comes first if there is a kohen handy. According to the other man, the Yomar, the yofa always comes first. Now, there's discussions in the Achronim as to what the machloket is, the brisker approaches. It's a question of whether it's a din. This din of chelbo is a din in the giving to the kohen, or it's a din in the hidur of the hafrosha. Okay, so that's a simple explanation, and that would make all the difference in the world. But be that as it may, the truth is that the Gemara has to address an item that we sort of pushed under the carpet all along, because grogrot to teinim or teinim to grogrot, of course, involve a completely different issue, besides kamot shehein or likamot shayu. And that's what we want to get to today. So Tana Rabbana, Tormim Te'inim al HaGrogrot. Now the way Rashi learns this is what drives the Achronim crazy, is that we're talking about Tormim with Minyan. So simply don't worry about the volume. Just count the numbers. And you could take off Te'inim on Grogrot, and that's as long as Bimakom Shirigilim La'asot Te'inim Grogrot. That's where the norm would be. that if somebody gets teinim, he would make them to grow groat anyway. But you can't take grow groat and take them off al teinim, and that's afilo b'makom shiragilim lasot teinim grow groat. Now, again, on the surface, you would think that if we're talking about b'minyan over here, so this is a simple description of the question of whether you go l'kimot shehen or you go l'kimot shehen. So in other words, if you hold, you can take off te'inim and grow groat because that's great. Now you're giving the current delicious big fruit and you're taking them off proportionate to fruit that are nowhere near as good. They're all squeezed out. But you can't do it the other way. And yet, for some reason, this isn't even mentioned in the Gemara. According to Rashi, who claims that it's got to be b'minyan, why isn't that the issue? So as we explained, it's not the issue, because as we concluded yesterday, if we're talking about tormim, then we can look at it either way and say it's been it's ayin yafa, depending on whether you're looking at the volume or looking at the minyan. But if, as long as it's ayin yafa, and there's no concern for being marbe b'masrot, so then fine. We had a reish and a seifa. There could be a tall ayin yafa, as the Gemara pointed out. That would be the pshat. You see, yesterday, also, many are bothered by the fact that it's seifa ba'ayin yafa, the Gemara says. Why does it throw in seifa ba'ayin yafa? That's not what we were talking about at all. Unless, if the way Rashi is learning it is that it's okay to consider both the reish and seifa ba'ayin yafa, it doesn't matter whether you want to consider it ayin yafa in terms of kamot she'ein or in terms of kamot shayu, then this Gemara works in perfectly according to Rashi. Since we're talking about Tormim, do it any way you want. I don't care how you do it. It's always going to be buying out. So what is the issue, therefore? Clearly, only the question of Mitkayim versus Yafet. And that's what the Gemara asks now. Asks the Gemara, excuse me, this it contradicts itself. Let's take that from the top. Omar Mar, Tormim Teinim Al Agrogrot. You could take off the fresh fruit for the dry fruit as long as it's a place where Regilim Lasot Teinim Grogrot. Can you explain what it has to do with the place to me? B'makom Sheregilim In, B'makom Sheregilim Lo. You're telling me, but that's only because Teinim and Grogrot are similar since everybody will make their Teinim into Grogrot. So what's the case over here? I keep on. Idiika Kohen, if there's a Kohen handy, who cares whether it's a Mokom that you're regilim or not? A Mokom she'eno ragil, let's say. Why wouldn't I be able to give the nice, delicious, fresh fruit?
Which
ragil?
What?
Ragilim. That's regular behavior. Yeah. So what do I care? If I have a Kohen handy, why do I have to say that these teinim would be turned into grogrot? I'm doing something beautiful. I'm taking fresh fruit, giving them a beautiful basket to a Kohen. He could eat it today and have a delicious, fresh fig. What's wrong with that? Why does it have to be in a location where it's the norm to turn it into dried fig? So if it's talking about there is a Kohen, it says Beferish the Mishnah, Makom Shesh Kohen, Toremin HaYafeh. Now over there the question is, what do we do when there's a contradiction between the Yafeh and the Mitkayim, which is precisely this case? A fresh fig is Yafeh. It's obviously not mitkayim. It spoils rapidly. A dried fig is nowhere near as much fun as a fresh fig. But on the other hand, it's mitkayim. There, it says in the Mishnah, makom sheyesh kohen, if there's a kohen handy, then it is preferred to be torei min hayafeh above the mitkayim because he's going to eat it right away. Okay, so this doesn't make sense, unless you tell me that what we're talking about is a place where the kohen isn't handy. Elapshita deleka kohen. Therefore, since there's no kohen, and now you're going to have to store it, or it's going to get wrecked. So what? Everybody does that. Everybody stores it. Everybody takes a fresh one, puts it up on the roof. You're going to be doing that every other day. So you'll do that with your truma, and you'll keep it for the kohen. Therefore, we don't have any hakbada in this case. But if it's a place where, only once in a while they make dried figs, by then your fresh fig's going to be dead. So therefore, it would be better to give a dried fig straight off the bat. That makes a lot of sense. So, okay, I'm ready to learn it like this. But now my problem is that you're contradicting yourself with the seifa. Ema seifa. V'lo grogrot al teinim. You can never give figs for dried figs for fresh figs. Afilu b'makom sheragil asot teinim grogrot, even if it would be the norm to turn teinim into grogrot. I don't understand. If no coin is handy, then the preferred thing to do is to give dried fig. You just said we're talking about no coin being handy. It's okay to give fresh figs because we're talking about a place where people anyway make figs. But I certainly prefer to give their dried figs. So what? I don't understand. You could turn around and say, but you can't do it that way. Now, again, obviously, if you didn't learn yesterday's Gemara the way we introduced it, you would say, well, obviously, because then you're giving insufficient volume. And this, apparently what we hold is you go according to what's now. So how can you use dried figs, the minion, as Rashi is saying, if you would need to look at the volume? That would be the obvious way to answer the minion. It shouts out that that's what it's talking about. So there is no choice. I mean, you're sitting here scratching your head. I said, well, Rashi has to mess up the whole sugya by saying it's talking about the minion, where any two-year-old learns it and says, oh, well, of course, that's what we said yesterday. Yes, it's got to be that he understands that the sugya yesterday ended up with, if you're talking about truma, it's buying yafa either this way or that way. So our only question is mitkayen. So if it's mitkayen, so then the brayta, the Mishnah said beferush vatznan, makom she'ein kohen, dafka you're supposed to be torei min mitkayen. You're supposed to use the dried figs. No. Then the only option to learn the safest thing must be that there is a kohen. Therefore, we don't want to give him dried figs. We want to give him fresh figs. Simply because, nothing to do with the volume, but simply because it's fresh. The Torah says you're supposed to give the best. So why are you giving dried figs? So, can you explain this to me? The Reish is talking about there's no kohen. The safest talking about there is a kohen. And we're bringing a brayta that contrasts, supposedly, the same case in terms of the grogrod versus the teini. But in reality, there's a major factor which has changed in the background. Isn't that a little crazy? What are you saying? Says the Gemara, well, you got to say that. In Reisha, the Leka coin, safe for the Ika coin. As dochuk as that is, it at least forces you to confront the issues, and that's the main point that the Tanna is bringing out. You have to fill in the blank. So sometimes we do that also. So you fill in the blanks. Okay, so does this make sense? Yes, it makes sense, because we can add the variable of the coin being pressed. You see, again, when we've got such a better non-variable to throw in and make it all make sense, shouldn't we jump at it? See how crazy this is if it's just a continuation of the sugya as we originally understood it. Omer of Papa, you know, there was another very simple answer. The other simple answer was that basically that whole question was the machloket in Trumot. Do you go according to the mitkayem, or do you go according, if there is no coin, do you go according to the mitkayem, or do you go according to the yafa anyway? That was a machloket. So why can't you say that the Reisha and the Seif are talking about the same coin, but they're talking about Tumah and the Omer? Can you give a mitkayem where there's a lekek, or do you anyway give the yafa? Omer of Papa, you see from here that if you have a choice of splitting a brayta between two shitot or splitting it between two cases, it's adif to say that the brayta split two cases rather than split into mandi onrim. Because otherwise, why didn't we just say one is Rebuta, one is Rabban? We didn't say that. Omer of Papa, Shemamina, Dachkinan, Umukuminan Matniti, Betray Tame, Velo Mikmina Betray Tanoi. So even though we do have a few tricks up our sleeve, which trick is best for understanding the intent of a brayta? As we learned earlier, and Rav Preda brought up this Mishnah in the beginning of the Mesechta, and it's the continuation of the opening of what it means to be ba'ot matzah. How do you make them to be matzah? The first Mishnah spoke about the yotzim min haklal, the lechem of the todah and the shtei alecha, by asking, how do you make them chametz? So we had a machloket. Do you make them chametz by making sourdough within? Do you bring sourdough from elsewhere? Now the Mishnah wants to continue with, how do we make sure that they're matzah? Now, normally, what you ought to do, if you want to make sure that something is matzah, you use very cold water, shouldn't you? And the colder the water is, the slower the reaction is of the yeast reproduction. So, you know, that would be a great thing to do. Of course, the quality is much better if you're baking bread. You would obviously use warm water in order to encourage the mix. So surprisingly, when it comes to the menachot, kol ha-menachot nilashot b'poshrin, you don't use cold water, you use room temperature water. Umishamram shelo yachmitzu, and then you got to sit there making sure that it's worked the entire time in order that there be no chimuts. Now, that's okay, because after all, we know Kohanim Zrizinin, so that you're going to be makpid to do it correctly. But it must be that we're ma'adif, the tzura of the mincha, the tzura of the afia of the mincha, which was one of the things we saw in the opening of the Mishnah, that they tie it to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a nice way to make the mincha. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. It's not a nice way to make a mincha. You need good, long-term sourdough in the shtealecha. But the same thing is true over here. You need it to be properly baked, just to make sure it doesn't become chametz. Now, im hichmitzu shiareha, furthermore, you should know. So in other words, it is preferable, forget about yeast, it is preferable to make a dough, which is clearly anybody who's attempted to mix matzah realizes how awful that is because of the fact that you're trying to keep it as cold as possible and as less likely to be mitchametz as possible. But we don't want to do that for a mincha. We want the mincha to come out nice and fluffy, but not chametz. Okay, so we'll make our dough with room temperature water. Now, im ichmitzu shiareha, if you go out and you allow the shirayim to become chametz, you work with it. Even the shirayim, forget about the komet, which is put on the mizbeach. Even the shirayim, which you'd say, well, who cares? I mean, that's the chelik of the kohanim. That's not chelik gavoah. No, even the shirayim, you would be over on a lo ta'aseh, which the Gemara is going to explain what that lo ta'aseh is. Not to be confused with the word shene'emar that follows, which is not referring to the statement immediately prior, but is going back to the Reisha to explain why it is that there is a chiyav over here, mishamram shelo yachmitzu. And that's before you even take off a komet, you see. How do I know? Because it says, kol amincha shetakriva l'Hashem lo ta'aseh chametz. Before you've even gotten to the komet, you got the whole mincha here in front of you. You have to be careful about that whole mincha, that it doesn't become chametz. And you would be chayav separately, lo ta'aseh, on any asiya, separately. So lishata would be a chiyav. Just making the dough as chometz, you're going to be over on a lo ta'aseh. Arichata, which is the working with it, the mixing of it. And afiyata, the baking of it. Each one is a separate lav, because it's including in lo ta'aseh, and we're going to see that it's not only a general, but rather it is learned from an additional pasuk to apply to each act separately. Okay, minon emile, so getting back to what the Mishnah did say, that is that even the chelek of the keanim, the shirayim, even that, you're not allowed to be mechametz. Even though if the shirayim are being given to the kohanim, obviously we're not talking about a minchat kohen where it's going to all be put on the mizbeah, that the hakpada is on any and all parts of the mincha, even where it's not going to Hashem. How do you know that? Minon emile, Omer Shlakish, it's a smichus within the pasuk. Yes, I know when you read the pasuk, you read it like this: Lo te'afeh chametz, kama chelkam natati otam me'ishai kodesh kodashim. But in effect, what that's saying is that I'm relating the lo te'afeh chametz to chelkam. Chalkam meaning the Kohanim's chelek. Chalkam, I gave them this chelek, natati me'ishai. Therefore, even if you would be lo te'afeh chametz chelkam, since this is a gift to the Kohanim from my chelek, me'ishai, I'm giving it. First I was kainet, as we saw earlier. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kainet for his mizbeach. Now I'm going to give it to you. I'm sharing it with you. Therefore, even chelkam is the way to read this. Lo te'afeh chametz chelkam. Afilu chalkan lo te'afeh chametz. And therefore, the Mishnah, although the Mishnah didn't explain how I know shiareh over below ta'aseh, this is the lo ta'aseh. Lo te'afeh chametz chalkan. I thought we needed that pasuk to teach me something. Not about the shirayim. V'ailach yudiyata. Does this indeed come to teach us that there's a lo ta'aseh on chalkan? Do we not need this pasuk for the diuk in the Braita? V'ailach l'kidatanya. The Braita says, lo te'afeh chametz. That's this pasuk. Ma tamud lomar. Why does the Torah mention lo te'afeh chametz if it already said kol amincha lo te'aseh chametz? I mean, te'aseh is a much broader term than te'afeh, right? So te'aseh would mean anything that you do with the mincha cannot be made out of chametz. So why do you have to mention the lo te'afeh? Lefi she'nemar lo te'aseh chametz, yochol lo yehei chayav elachat al kulam. Because a naive reading of the pasuk that the Mishnah brings would have told me that there's one chiyuv, lo te'aseh chametz. Now, I don't care how many different elements you did. You did the lisha, you did the aricha, you did the afia. That's all basically one iser you're being over on asiyat chametz in different ways. But you're still only being over that one iser of lo te'aseh. Therefore, Talmud lomar lo te'afeh. You immediately think to yourself, lo te'afeh? I already know lo te'aseh any asiyah. Why in the world would the Torah tell me lo te'afeh? Was not afia bichlal haita, was it not included in the general din of the asiyah? Lama yatzat, why then did the Torah mention it separately? Lahakish aleha, in order to use it as the model for asiyah, and to tell me, just like afia is miyuchedet, in what sense? Shehi ma'aseh yechidi, it stands on its own, as a separate act. There's a discussion among the Achronim as to whether that means stands on its own in terms of Shabbat. In other words, when it comes to the chiluk melachot, the way we learn chiluk melachot are those things in the Mishkan that we consider them to be chashivi. Is that the meaning over here, miyuchedet, or it just means something that if people would ask, okay, what do I need to do? Well, you know, you need to mix the dough, and then you need to work the dough, and then you need to spread the dough, and then you need to bake the dough. Okay, so maybe that's ma'aseh yechidi. We'll see later on from the kituf that it would depend how we understand kituf, that it seems to be just anything that I would have seen as a separate act. So just like afia is special. Good morning, Richie.
Just like afia is special?
Good, 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 good. Just like afia is special. How about they like the...
Before that?
Yeah, no. How far back can you go? So just like afia is special, don't give him any openings. Just like afia is special, and you're chayav on it separately, afani avi lishata, viarichata, and for that matter, anything. Koma se yechidi shabbat. Well, like, what didn't you mention? Well, I didn't mention kituf, did I? So, how about the kituf? The kituf is where I fix up the face of the outside. So I'll, you know, put a little egg on it if I'm making challahs, or I'll smooth it out with water if I'm making a mincha. But that's like the final act that you do to make it nice. That's also a ma'aseh yechidi. How do I know that I'd be chayav on each one separately? From lo te'afeh. You're chayav alav bifnei atzmo. So you're telling me lo te'afeh is being used to teach me that there's a chayav even on the shirayim, which is chelkam. And here we find that the bright is coming to tell me that lo te'afeh is to teach me that there's a separate chayav on each and every element of the asiyah. Yeah, so there's two separate things over here. I was talking about the diak from the word chalkam. You're talking about the diak from the word lo te'afeh. I'm just saying, if lamaisa next to lo te'afeh comes chalkam, then it's clearly including chalkam, the shirayim, in the iser. What that iser is the iser that's klali that was said on the rest of the mincha, except that now we see it extends not only to the komets, and not only to the pre-komets entirety, in which there's the potential for the komets, but even into the post-komet shirayim. That's all. Why is that a contradiction? Answers the Gemara, Anan mi chalkam kamrina. I am learning it from chalkam. Well, I understand that, but the problem is, if you're learning it from chalkam, how do you know that that's not the entire point? In other words, if you're telling me I need to now reiterate this iser of chimut in terms of the afiyah, and it's certainly not coincidental that it's in terms of afiyah and chalkam, then maybe that's the whole point. Maybe the point of the reiteration is the inclusion of chalkam, not the separation of the various asiyot, so that we can make this diuk of ma'aseh yechidi. So maybe the whole thing is for that point. Why wouldn't we be corrected assuming that if I have a good reason for a repetition, then it isn't true to start the whole drasha by saying, well, wasn't afia bichlal, aita lama yatzat? No, what do you mean lama yatzat? It wasn't yatzat. It was part of an extension of the original din. That's not called yatzat. I wouldn't have known it. So I don't understand that. That's what I'm asking. I don't understand how you can use, even though one word is from lo tiafeh and the other is from chelkam. But the lo tiafeh only works if there is no other justification. In this case, there is a justification for its repetition, namely chelkam. So what gives you the right to be dorish bo? No, you see, because it's a simple question of grammar. You're saying, why not say that the entire focus of the pasuk is to teach me chalkam? That's what you're saying. Well, I mean, if the subject of the sentence is chalkam, don't you think we should start with that? Chalkam lo tiafeh chametz. Here you start off, in other words, if I left off the end of the sentence, it would still make perfectly good sense. Lo tiafeh chametz. Thank you, period. So now, if you're adding in chelkam natati miyishai, I mean, you can't say that that was the subject of the original, the first phrase, which is lo teafeh chametz. You can't say the subject of lo teafeh chametz is chelkam. We're only adding chelkam. So, all right, so what was the subject? The whole mincha. But if the whole mincha is the subject, then the sentence doesn't make sense at all, because it already said lo teaseh. So therefore, I have two separate indications. I know for a fact, because of the construction of the pasuk, that the subject cannot be chalkam. I know from the fact that it does mention chalkam as sort of an afterthought, in the second phrase, that chalkam is meant to be included in the yisur lo teyafeh. But I still need to be medayik, why mention lo teyafeh as a yotzei min haklal of the word teyaseh. So now I take all of that, put it together, and I end up with two separate dinim. One, that there's an iser of chimutz on chelkam, which is the shirayim. And the other is that iser of chimutz is on every last thing that you would do separately. Both the lisha, and the aricha, and the katifa, and the afia, and so on. So it's great.
The comments taken after the minute.
That's true. Not necessarily, because you have a right to be of your shirayim in a case where there's not a chiyav of afiyah, and it would still be an act of chimut, so it would still be a perfectly proper statement. Now, before we continue, let us recognize that in cases such as these, we are faced with determining what the limud is. This isn't just a simple literary idea. Why mention afiyah if it isn't an indication of the asiyah? And the reason that it's not a simple literary idea is because if it were, then from the literary point of view, it would make perfectly good sense to say that the nature of the specific idea of afiyah would apply to chelkam, and then the overall din of asiyah would be a general asiyah on the mincha as a whole, but not that the afiyah should define for everything the fact that asiyah can be broken up into pieces. The truth is that we deal here with a technicality, and that technicality leads to something of a stira. We have two ways of dealing with klal and prat. One way of dealing with klal and prat follows the rule that where you have a klal that is followed by a prat, the prat is the definition of the klal. And it's not something that is meant to be learned from and to expand the klal or to give us a definition of the sense of the klal. It is the klal. When I say lo teaseh, what do I mean? Lo tofeh. If it says lo teaseh, it means lo teafeh. That would be a klal uprat. Now, strangely enough, there is a different drasha, which seems to be a contradiction, and that is, kol davar shaya bichlal, v'yatza min haklal lelamed, lo lelamed al atzmo yatza, el lelamed al haklal kulo yatza. Now, that seems to be what we're doing over here. We're saying, afiyah was included in a klal, namely, lo teaseh. It was yotzei to teach something about itself. Therefore, it now redefines the klal as applying in a broader way. Now, how exactly do we decide whether we're dealing with a klal or prat, or we're dealing with a yotzei min haklal? Every prat is a yotzei min haklal, by definition. Saying it was included in the klal, and now you're mentioning it separately. So therefore, the three issues, the literary sense of it, the klal or prat sense of it, and the yotzei min haklal lamed sense of it, the Gemara is going to investigate here to see how it is that we determine, okay? So we start off by, so now that we've pointed out to you the literary sensitivity to what's happening, the different phrases in the sentence and the way that the subject cannot be Chalkamen. So we learned all two fascinating things. The question is, says the Gemara, even if all of this is right, why wouldn't we say, Ema Afia deparat barachmana l'chayev koda? Why not say that Afia is a unique case? Since the Torah mentions it separately, then let that be specifically the thing that I would be chayev on. But inach l'chayev koda akulu, and anything else would just be part of the general asiya. And now, according to Tosfos, this is predicated on the assumption that the afia would be a specific iser on the chalkam, but the teaseh itself was going back on the komets, which includes all of the asiyot. Now that way, you see, I would be able to account for all of the issues here. I would be stressing afia versus asiya. I would be addressing that specifically to chalkam. I would be looking at the asiya as referring to kol hamincha, which refers to that which the komets is going to be taken out of. And that kol hamincha would include afia, but it wouldn't be a separate chiyuv of asiya. The separate chiyuv would be a dafka in terms of chalkam. Answers the Gemara, because you're missing the point over here. This is a davar shaya b'chlav yatzah ben haklal lamed. The rule in such a case is lo lamed al atzmo yatzah, elo lamed al haklal kulo yatzah, and therefore we need, because of the rule shatorah nidreshet ben, we need to apply the new limud of afia to the asiya, in which case everything applies to everything. I now know that each separate maisi yechidi is a chiev, and I know that those maisi yechidim apply to the chalkam. But why look at it that way, asks the Gemara. Why can't we say that kol hamincha lo te'aseh chametz is a klal, and then it goes ahead to say lo te'afeh, that's a prat? Isn't the rule that a klal u prat ain bichlal ela masha beprat? I mean, I learned that from kindergarten. So then we should say afia in midi achrin alo. What gives you the right to say this is a yotzei ben haklal lamed? Omar Rabbi Afturiki. It's very simple. A klal and a prat need to be able to be read together. You can't have a klal in Vayikra and a prat in Sav and call it a klal or prat. What you call that is, we know the din. Okay, now why are you speaking about it? Because it's a yotzei min haklal. Okay, so is there something new about it? Yes, indeed there is. All right, so then apply that new thing to the klal. But in order for it to be a klal or prat, to be a definition, this prat is the klal, I need to be able to read it together. How can I have a klal or prat by ignoring everything between Vayikra and Tzav? It doesn't make any sense. So this is a klal or prat hamruchakim zemizeh, and the rule is that kol klal or prat hamruchakim zemizeh ein danim otam beklal or prat. And that's the way to know how to determine whether you're supposed to read a klal or prat or you're supposed to read a davar yotzei min haklal. Motiv Rav Ada bar Ava, or some say it was Kedi. I mean, that's about exactly the opposite, you know. I mean, love versus whatever, you know. Ava versus Kedi. You can imagine what would happen if somebody named their son Ava today. Let me tell you something. He'd probably be sitting in the prison, in the Haredi prison. But anyway. You're telling me that a klal uprat muchakim zebizek can never be learned as a klal uprat? I've encountered contradictions to that. The Atanya. There is a braita that seems to be saying exactly that. The braita darshens the posek by the Sa'ir Nasi. V'samach yado arosh ha-sa'ir, and goes on to say, v'shachat oto b'mkom asher yishchat et ha'ola lifnei Hashem. And what would that mean? Well, obviously, heichan ola nishchetet b'tzafon, avze b'tzafon. It teaches us that the Sa'ir Nasi needs to be b'tzafon. Now, the braita continues on and asks on itself, V'chi anu mikan l'medim? This, you're trying to tell me, is the mekor for shchita b'tzafon on a chatat? V'halo kvar ne'mar, does it not say in the klal of the menachot? Now, the Gemara is going to very conveniently ignore the fact for a moment before it comes back on the attack. It's going to ignore the fact that the klal of the menachot is, as all the other klalim are, except for Shlomim, but is in Sav, not in Vayikra. So the later pasuk, even though we're saying alo kvar ne'amar, we often will do that. Does it not already say, meaning already from the global point of view, differently say? So does it not say, daber el aron vel ben av lemor, zot torat tachatat? B'mkom asher tishachet ha'olah tishachet ha'chatat. Isn't that a general rule of all chataot? Zot Torah ha'chatat. So why in the world is it necessary to teach that a sa'ir nasi should be batzafon? Obviously it should be batzafon. After all chataot are batzafon. This is the bride to ask itself. Halamaze yatsa. What this is coming therefore as being yotzei for the general rule is likova. Oh, it's to make it a me'akev. She'im lo shachat oto betzafon pasalo. If you didn't do shechita betzafon, it is not just that you violated the mitzvah, but it's actually li'ikuva, which of course we always need to know that when it comes to kachim, you need either a repetition or you need a word that implies it's do or die. Ata omer, continues the bride, this is what you claim it was yotzei for? Or perhaps on the contrary, o ena elisha zeta unsafon ve'ena cherta unsafon. Perhaps what it means is that it is the sa'ir nasi and only the sa'ir nasi that requires safon, and it comes to clarify to you that you should not take the klal as meaning all chataot, but rather the klal is meant to be defined by the sa'ir nasi. Sa'ir nasi and no other. Now, according to Tosus, it doesn't mean that's a Rashi word. All right, Rich, please, sweetheart, you're taking it out of me, man. I gotta see that you know, that rock concert feeling over here, man. You gotta be jumping up and down, you know, and screaming. And
No,
come on. I mean, if you had a choice between Daf Yomi or Bob Dylan, I mean, what would you go to? What would you do?
Let's schedule the
Daf
concert.
Uh-oh, the Roez Zonot is back.
As soon as I start hearing Pratt and Klaus,
you don't know Dylan's song about Pratt and Klaus? You never heard Dylan's song?
No.
Oh my gosh! You better come to the Daf tomorrow. You notice how something got interested in Pratt and Klaus there from that? Yeah, I'm telling you, I don't even need to go to the gym. Just dealing with energy is enough. Okay, so therefore, Tosfos says, that doesn't mean completely define the klal of Zot Torah HaChatat. What it means is that all Si'irim, so any time you have, let's say, the Si'irei Avodat Kochavim, you have the Si'irei of the Moadim, of Rosh Chodesh, and so on, Si'irim would be excluded from the Din of Tzafon by the fact that the Sa'ir Nasi is the only one that we stress has to be B'Tzafon. So how do I know that this isn't the rule? Talmud Lomar, therefore, what it needs to describe by the Si'irei Chatat of a Yachid, which is after the Nasi, there it says, V'samach et yado arosh ha-chatat, v'shachat et ha-chatat bimkom ha-ola. So the bimkom ha-ola, this is a binyan av. L'kol chata'ot she'tu unot tzafon. This teaches us not to understand the Sa'ir Nasi as the limitation of the Zot Torah HaChatat to the case of Sa'ir Nasi. Now, here's my point. This is all based on the fact that the Torah wrote this additional pasuk by the Sirat Yachid. Time of the Katav Rechamana, Vishachat et Achatat. Let's say it wouldn't have had that extra pasuk, okay? So what would I have said? Halav Achi, I would have said, well, you know, even though the Torah does say, Zot Torah Achatat, Bimkom Asher Tishachet Olah, Tishachet Achatat, obviously that is being limited by Seir Nasi, where it's Zeh, and only the Sa'ir Nasi, since it repeats, requires tzafon, zeh ta'un tzafon, ve'en acher ta'un tzafon. Now that's a crazy thing to say, unless, and this is the way I always understood it, said Rav Ada Bar Abba, unless we're darshaning this as a klal and a prat, even though one is in Tzav and one is in Vayikra. Why else would we think that Sa'ir Nasi should be a limit of all chata'ot? That's crazy. So therefore, you see, afagav de Baruch Hakim, ze mizeh, danimoto bichlal oprat. Now, Rav Ashi responded to this with an attack. I mean, this is outrageous. Of course, as we saw earlier, the reason that it's outrageous is because it's outrageous. How can you possibly learn that the klal in Tzav should be defined by the prat that came before the klal was even mentioned. I mean, that's nuts. Of course it's not a klal or prat. So matkiv or ravashi, what do you mean this is a klal or prat? If anything, it's a prat and a klal, okay? If it's a prat and a klal, and you really believe that we would darshan either klal or prat or klal, that a meruch hakim said, he said, can you maybe tell me the rule of what the din is of a prat or klal? I'll tell you the rule. The rule is nasa klal mosif ala prat vit rabilu komili. So you completely undermine the brayta by claiming that it's meruch hakim could still be darshan. What's the matter with you? If you start with a prat and then you expand it into a klal, so what are you telling me? That I didn't mean the prat as a prat. I meant the prat as an indication of an overall rule. So then Bryce is going to ask, how do I know it applies to everything else? What do you mean, how do you know? From the fact that it's a prat or klal. But I need another pasuk by Sirat Yachid. You're obviously missing the whole point of this brayta. That's what comes of being named love. Elatana otoka kashali, for God's sake. Read the pasuk carefully. You'll see what the problem was over here. The problem is that it says vishachat oto bimkom asher yishchat oto. What do you mean oto? Every chatas is supposed to be shechted in the makom ha'olah. Why are you saying only the chatat nasi? That was the question. Nothing to do with its placement. Nothing to do with its relationship to klal or prat. We're worried about the word oto. And that's kokashale. Now, here is how to read the brayta correctly, sir. Hakikama. Oh, eino ela shezeh ta'un tzafon, ve'in acher ta'un tzafon, since the normal reader would be sensitive to the word, the katav rachmana oto. That was the point. Well, that was the point. How come we don't talk about what oto comes to us? What is the point of oto, then? You asked oto, but you never told me. Okay, so I'm coming back to you. All right, fine. Let's say the problem was oto, and now you learned from Seirat Chatat Yachid not to say oto. I'm ready to accept that, but hashted and afkale, now that we've learned out from Vishachat et hachatat that appears by the Yachid, so then, and you're still agreeing that oto is there for a miyat, you haven't told me what it is, mimayat. So then, oto lamuti mai? Ah, it's to be mayat. A nachshon who shows up and shechs a bird on Pesach. That's just a good way to remember it. And here's how we go through this sugya with the siman. Oto comes to tell me, oto bitzafon, ve'in se'ir nachshon bitzafon. Now remember that the se'ir chatat of a nasi is actually brought by every single nasi one time in history during the 12 days in which the nasiim were makriv. You heard about that? One time, and two times, and three times, and four times, and 12 times. So we know that there was a Seir Chatat. A Seir Chatat Achat that was brought by every single one of the nasiim. Are those Seir Nasis? Or are they something else when they're being brought b'sha'at achinuch? If they are si'irei nasi, then that means that every single one of the nasiim would be bringing a carbon that needed shechita b'tzafon and all of the standard things that a si'ir nasi requires. Comes along the pasuk oto to tell me no. Only a si'ir nasi that is being brought al chait, like the list of chata'ot, requires tzafon. Ve'ein si'ir nasi acher, meaning the si'iri we call all Seirei Nisim, Seir Nachshon. Seir Nachshon has many levels of meaning. The simplest level of meaning is that HaMakriv B'Yom HaRishon, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who was the Nasi of Yehuda. So B'Meila becomes our model for all of the Seirei Nisim. They were chataot, but they were one-time chataot that were not coming for specific chait. Which, of course, accounts for the other nature that which we use seir nachshon as an overall model for cases other than the nasiim for any type of korban chatas that is coming for the nachash and is not coming for a chait. So it's nachshon. In other words, it's possible for a chatat to be brought for the general sense of sin, which goes back to nachshon, as opposed to a specific thing that was done. What? Whatever, however one wishes to understand.
It's a claim original sin.
I don't understand. What is that original sin, Jazz? What do you mean claim? Obviously, we all die because, what does that mean, the halal original sin? It's only in context of requiring grace or the Lord Yoshka Pipik or whatever. Yeah, but obviously, I mean, the Pasuk talks about the fact that there's a gzeirah of Mita, which is Bit Yoshon Nachash. I don't get it. So until you're betaken that chet of Adam HaRishon, what does that have to do with Christianity, Bichlal? The fact that they use the word of a kadmon? I never understood that. Anyway, getting back to the...
It's not fixable by that.
Well, it's worse than it's not fixable. It's seriously sexy and perverted. That's the issue. I've become neurotic from it. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, but in terms of the original aspect of it, we call Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon. Rishon means, always used in terms of primal. That's all right. Kadma. Kadma is Rishon. Anyway, back to the word. So this teaches us, Oto Bitzafon, Ve'in Se'ir Nakshon Bitzafon. Why would I have thought that it would be Bitzafon? After all, it's coming for completely different purposes. Because Salka Da'atecha Minoho Ve'it Rabi Le'inyan Smicha. Lit Rabbi Nami Linyan Safon Kamash Malan. I would have thought that since, as we're going to see, there's a special pasuk that tells us that you need to do smicha, which is weird because usually you do smicha to normal chatas, which is part of your vidui, and it's the whole idea of your relationship to a chatas as schait. So then maybe it would require Safon like a normal korban chatas. Kamash Malan, that it doesn't. That's what we really require the Oto for. Now, tomorrow, we'll have to continue this in searching out for why I would, how do I know that it requires smicha? What indeed is the deeper relationship in terms of the psukim between the Sayer Nasi and the Sayer Nasi? Sayer Nashon is Nasi, and the Sayer Nasi Asher Techata. So to be continued. Tana Rabbanu. Tormin teinim ala grogrot b'mkom shergilim lasot teinim grogrot v'lo grogrot al teinim afila b'mkom shergilim lasot teinim grogrot. Omar Mar, tormim teinim ala grogrot b'mkom shergilim lasot teinim grogrot b'mkom shergilim in b'mkom she'en regilim lo. Well, hechidami idika kohen v'ni b'mkom she'en regil, why not? If there's a kohen, it says b'feresh in the Mishnah b'mkom she'esh kohen torim min ayafeh, which is the teinim. Elapshita the leka kohen, and therefore you want to meet kayim. So then, how do you explain the seifa? V'lo grogrot ala teinim afilu b'mokom shragil lasot teinim grogrot. If there's no kohen around, I thought that's exactly what you're supposed to do. A milo, that's not makom she'in kohen tori mina mitkayim better than the yafeh. Elapshita the ika kohen. Oh my God! Reisha the leka kohen, seifa the ika kohen. Yeah, well, what can you do? You know. Reisha the leka kohen, seifa the ika kohen. Omer of Papa, from here we see that it's better to be dachkinon u'mukmina matnitin in trei taimi cases rather than to be mukminon betrei tanoi, you argue about the din. Kol ha-menachot v'niloshot b'posherin u'mishamran shelo yachmitzu v'im hichmitzu shi'areha over b'lo ta'aseh. Getting back to the Reisha, shenema. Which means any asiya, chayavalishata, valarichata, valafiyata minan emile. How, in fact, do we know the last part of lote afech chametz? Even on the shirayim, omri shlokish diomakro lote afech chametz chelkam, afilo chelkam lote afech chametz. Va'ailach yudiata, ami boy leilat kidetanya. Lo te'afech hametz ma tamud lomar v'lo kvar nemar lo te'asech hametz. V'shenemar lo te'asech hametz yochel lo yechayev elachat al kulam, no matter how many different things you do b'chimut. Tamud lomar lo te'afech. Now, is it not so that afiyah b'chlal hayta? Ask yourself, lama yatzat? Must be lakish aleha to teach that ma afiyah miyuchedet shi ba'aseh yechidi and nonetheless chayamin aleha b'fnei atzma. Afani avilishata, varichata, or for that matter, kol maase yechidi shaba la tuye kituf, which is a maase yechidi, and you would be chayav ala bifnei atzma. Yeah, but I wasn't darshening the word loteyafe, I was darshening the chelkam, and I'm chelkam kamrina. Yes, but that's the problem. Because in kein bichtov chelkam loteyafe chametz. I mean, tell me loteyafe chametz, and you just throw in chelkam as an afterthought. So clearly, there's two different issues here. Shema mira tarte, ve'eba afia depiret barachmana l'chayev chada, and then the others, as far as the comment is concerned, as Tosfos l'chayev chada on all other asiyot akulo. Well, because, I mean, you're forgetting the rule. It's a davar shehaya bichlal. V'yatza min haklal lalamed, lo lalamed al atzmo yatza, elo lalamed al haklal kolo yatza. But how do you know that it's a davar yatza min haklal? Why not say that the lo te'aseh as a klal, the lo te'aseh as a prat, and klal uprat in bichlal al ma'aseh b'prat, namely, afiyah in, but nothing else? Omer of Avtariki, because you cannot darshan this as a klal uprat. One in Vayikra, one in Tzav, and an imato beklal uprat. Mati revada barava varmila kedi klal uprat muruchakim zebizeh and an imato beklal uprat. How do you explain the following brayta? V'shachat oto bimkom asher yishchat oto ola lifnei Hashem chatat hu, referring to the Sa'ir Nasi. Now, what is that saying? It's saying, Echan ola nishchat b'tzafan. So it's teaching av ze b'tzafan. Now, continues the b'raisa, v'chiyonu mikam l'medim, halo kvar nemar in tzav, bimkom asher tishachet ola, tishachet achatat, as a general rule, halama ze yatsa, bekova, oh, to be ma'akev. She'im lo shachat oto b'tzafan paslo. Well, ato omer lekach yatsad, perhaps it should be Yotze to tell me shezet on safon ve'inacher on safon. That can't be, because Talmud lomar ve'shachat et achatat b'mkom ha'ola ze b'ne'av l'kol chatot shetunot safon. Now I ask you, says Rav Ada Bar Ava, it's clear that it's only because we were rescued by this pasuk of ve'shachat et achatat, but not for that. Havamina, that indeed zeta unzafun ve'inacherta unzafun, despite the fact that it does say zot torat achatat bimkom asheti shachet. Why, my timer? Clearly, because it's a klal uprat, and the prat is limiting the klal afagav the meruach hakim zemizeh danim ato beklal uprat. Matkif la Rav Ashi, what in the world are you talking about? It's not even a klal uprat l'shitatcha. Even if you want to dash meruach hakim, The prat is in Vayikra, and the klal is in Tzav, so it's the opposite. It's a prat or klal. Then the klal would be mosif ala prat, and then it would be itrabilu kol mile. So clearly you're missing the whole point. The Tana was asking for the word oto. Hokikomer, o ein o elash zeta unzafon ve'ein acherta unzafon de katav rachamana oto. So what indeed is the oto for? Now that you're telling me we learn it out from v'shachata tachatat. So, oto lamute mai. Ah, oto is lamute anachshon that shechter a bird on Pesach. So, oto bitzafon, vein sir nachshon bitzafon. Why would I have thought sir nachshon is bitzafon? Because salkadate kaminoho vitrabilin in smicha, vitrabinamilin yan safon, kamash malon.